The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must eat America.
We're doing back. Hey, we do. Welcome back. It is the top of the second hour of National Intel Report live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network, and any place else you might be watching or listening to the show. I got a text message during the break that said, tell the listeners that they should put pressure on their representatives to address the child trafficking issue by calling SOBUSOB, the Capitol Switchboard. And it says, yes, that number works, and it's super easy to remember. I don't know that number works. This person says it does. SOBUSOB. That's funny. However, I do know that the House of Representatives switchboard is 202-224-3121. And I think we should all call them a lot more frequently than we do now. We need to be more civically engaged. We need to tell our representatives. And yeah, you can say they're not going to listen. They don't. But every call gets logged. And when we get enough people all calling with the same message, like stop child trafficking or stop woke nonsense in the military or whatever the case may be, then eventually they have to listen, right? Theoretically, hopefully, I don't know. Call your representative. 202-224-3121 is the switchboard at the U.S. House of Representatives. Do that. We got Colonel Mike Ford with us.
Attend, hut! Welcome back in studio, retired Colonel Mike Ford, managing editor of American Free News Network.
All right, Colonel, before we went to break, you were talking about not having any respect for the, the Secretary of Defense or the Secretary of the Army, and my head went to the, well, I don't have a whole lot of respect for any of the idiots in the DOJ that are coming up with all the woke nonsense that they're shoving down the military's throats. Now, I got it. In my first book, Progress? Really? I said in here that I didn't care if the guy next to me in the Navy was a, you know, identified as a purple anteater, as long as he did his job and, you know, had my back. And I think that holds true for just about anybody in the military. Be whatever you want to be, I don't care. Do your job and have my back. But you can't do your job when they're lowering standards because, you know, what was it? G.I. Jane. You remember the movie G.I. Jane, right? The, you know, Demi Moore wanted to be a SEAL. And at first they were like, well, you're good to pass. You're good. And she like refused and she had to meet all the men. You know, she forced herself to meet the men's standards. That's the way I feel it should be. The standard is the standard. You don't lower the standard because you want to let a woman do the job. If the woman can meet the standard, then great. And if she can't, then sorry. We'll find something else for you to do. That's what the military's all about. Finding, they've got a job for everybody. This nonsense about, you know what, the Navy put out a video about pronouns. Did you see that?
I did not.
Oh, I'm going to have to find that. So let you just talk for a minute while I look that up. But the Navy put out a video about pronouns. You know what the pronouns were when I was in the Navy?
Sir.
Sir, ma'am, petty officer. Yeah. You talk. What do you think about all of that nonsense?
If you're talking about first responder type things in the U.S., anybody that can meet the standard should be able to play in that game. Now, the problem is with first responders in the U.S., what they have done is lowered the standards because of a thing they call disparate impact. And what that means is they lowered the physical standards so they had, scare quotes here, enough females. Well, what happens is they have females, a bunch of them meet the lowered standards. They come in at entry level a bunch of them end up leaving, but a few of them survive by being carried by their male counterparts so they can make sergeant and lieutenant, and then all of a sudden all the physical requirements disappear, and then you see a disparate amount of females actually as police chiefs and sheriffs now. Okay. Although they had never been able to actually meet the standard, real standards. In the military, we can survive with that stateside. In the military, there's another dynamic that takes place. Okay. If you ever watch or look in a locker room, okay, combat arms is like a locker room. It's males on testosterone, and what enables them to survive and deal with fear in combat is not wanting to let down their men, their male comrades. Okay, I will tell you right now, having had more than a few AK-47 rounds go whipping by my head, the only thing that kept me from peeing my pants and cowering under under a Humvee when we got ambushed was that there were men out there that would think less of me if I did. So I stood out there and did what I had to do to get our convoy out of the ambush, stood out there directing traffic or whatever, although I wanted to pee my pants, okay? And there's an old saying out there that says, you know, bravery is being the only one around you that knows you're scared shitless, okay? Right. Okay, but that's a male thing, okay? Women deal with these things emotionally differently. Okay. And the minute you put a woman, a female, into a traditionally male environment, you totally change the dynamic and you degrade the performance of the men. Okay, that's been proven time and time and again. We can say, oh, well, that's not fair, and we can train the men or whatever. But why are you going to waste resources and time to train the men to act unnaturally? A male's dynamic is to protect women and children and go off and fight wars. Women are there to take care of children while the men are off killing people. That's the way it works. And if you don't want to buy that, well, I'm sorry, but you're wrong.
I was on one of the very first combat-ready U.S. naval vessels to have women on board. We were
well. Then inherently, it wasn't combat-ready.
Well, let me get there. It was a combat-ready vessel. And we were chosen to be one of the test sites to have women on board. And they brought on one female officer and, I don't know, three or four female enlisted. I don't remember exactly. But I do remember that over half of them were sent to the shore duty pregnant within the first year they were on the ship. They were no longer combat ready.
Oh, yeah.
And it was painfully clear that every man on the ship did everything they could to impress these four women, because there were four women.
That's natural.
Yeah.
Here's the other part of that. How many of those women, okay, now I'm not a Navy guy, I'm a grunt, you know, I walk to work. How many of those women can perform all the damage control functions, which, from what I understand, involves picking up big old 6x6s or whatever and shoving them in there to keep, you know, the water from coming in, whatever it is you Navy guys do, I don't know, to keep the boat from sinking.
You know, there's a lot of firefighting in the Navy, believe it or not.
Well, yeah, okay, which involves hauling heavy hoses filled with water and, you know, all kinds of stuff, right?
Yep. Wearing OBAs and fire resistant. Yep. Anyway, I found that video. It's processing and uploading, and we'll play it in right after this phone call. Reb in Colorado, line one, welcome to the show. Reb in Colorado, going once. All right. I can't hear Reb. The person who texted me the number SOB, USOB, it said they just called it. It's 877-SOB, USOB. To reach the Capitol switchboard. That's awesome. 877-SOB-USOB.
Okay, I got to write that down.
All right. And here is the Navy's video about proper pronoun usage.
Hi, my name is Johnny, and I use he, him pronouns.
Hi, and I'm Conchi, and I use she, her pronouns.
And we're here to talk about pronouns.
What is a pronoun? A pronoun is how we identify ourselves apart from our name, and it's also how people refer to us in conversations.
Using the right pronouns is a really simple way to affirm someone's identity. It is a signal of acceptance and respect.
If it's a signal of acceptance and respect, how do we go about creating a safe space for everybody?
That's a good question. A really good way to do that is to use inclusive language. Instead of saying something like, hey guys, you can say, hey everyone, or hey team.
Yeah, and now that you say that, another way that we could show that we're allies and that we accept everybody is to maybe include our pronouns in our emails, or like we just did, introduce ourselves using our pronouns.
But what would I do if I misgender someone?
I think the first thing to recognize is that it's not the end of the world. You correct yourself and move on, or you accept the correction and move on. The most important thing I can tell you is do not put the burden of making you feel good about your mistake on the person that you just misgendered.
Oh, thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, and another tip for you to remember their pronoun next time, it's in your mind, kind of go through a progression of three good things about the person using their pronoun. So let's say the person chooses to use they, then you will in your mind go, they have a nice shirt. They have a nice smile. They are really smart. So that kind of sticks in your brain.
That is so helpful. I want to know, what would I do if I want to know someone's gender identity or pronouns?
The most important thing is do not pressure anybody into giving you their pronouns. Some people may be going through the process of discovery and they are not ready yet to tell you what their pronouns are, and that's okay.
So I should just lead with my pronouns and they may follow or not, and if they don't, then I can just continue to use gender neutral language.
Yes, exactly. Just to share something with you that happened the other day at a cookout I was at, we were talking about pronouns and somebody was disagreeing with how different people see themselves as different pronouns, and the argument was, if you look like a female, then it's she, her, because that's what's normal. And if you make me call you something else, then you're infringing on my rights. And I was really taken aback by the comment, and I really wasn't sure how to respond. And the only thing I could really think quickly to say was, it's not about you at all. And it's mostly and ultimately about respect.
It is about respect. That's an important point to make. And I think you did the right thing. I think it's important to keep it short and simple. What I would have said to help them understand better is to talk about mispronouncing names. For example, my name is Johnny, spelled J-O-N-Y. And it's normal for someone to pronounce my name like Joni. But if I were to tell you over and over again, my name is Johnny, and you insist on mispronouncing my name, I would feel disrespected by you. Some names are very difficult to pronounce, but do you know what is very easy to pronounce? She, he, they.
Oh, okay, so that A was the most ghetto version I've ever seen of a Navy training video, and my God, the Navy training videos were bad to begin with. But that was so dated and everything. You said this is not about respect, and it respect doesn't involve affirming a mental disorder, and I agree with that. But my thing about it was the military is nobody knew my first name when I was on a ship. It was Petty Officer Sarah. It was Riggle back then. I changed my name. Long story. Anyway. But it was Petty Officer Riggle or MS3 Riggle or just MS3. There was no he, him, her. It's just not used. It's rank. Rank, last name.
It's, first of all, do me a favor. Have one of your smart guys email me that video. I'm going to have some well thought out verbiage to deal with that. You'll see it. here's a question that I've asked a number of flag officers and SESs, and for those of you artists who don't know what that is, SESs are the civilian equivalent of general officers, one star, two star, or whatever. I've asked them multiple times, and not one has been able to tell me how any of this increases our ability, military ability, to, what's the word? Cost effectiveness, combat effectiveness, lethality, deterrence, recruiting, or any other metric by which we assess our ability to kill people and break things, or credibly threaten to do so at the behest of our national command authority. Let's look at whoever is China's military guru over there, who is looking at the United States and going, what can they do? Or that Wiener Putin looking at us and saying, what can they do? Or the current dictator over in Korea saying, what can they possibly do and what are they willing to do? So they look at us and they see a Secretary of Defense that says, my most important priority is to get into a food fight with a man who can confirm my choices as flag officers because he disagrees with me about female plumbing. Think about that, because that's what's going on here. We have a bunch of people that are deciding to side with people who are disordered. If you wake up in the morning and you believe that your sex, and it's sex, it's not gender. Gender is social studies and it's language studies, but it's not biological. Mm-hmm. The biological term is sex. And in the human species, sex is one of two things, male, female. If there's other stuff going on there, that means you have a disorder. There's something wrong with you. Okay? So if our Secretary of Defense is involved in deciding female plumbing, then you know what? I think my chances are pretty good to invade Taiwan. I think my chances are pretty good to come across the border and invade South Korea.
Yeah, it's showing weakness. It's showing the priorities are messed up. And it's not just the military. The national priorities of everything and everyone are messed up. I said a long time ago that, we've had it too good for too long in this country. We've too affluent and too comfortable, and now we're complaining about made up problems. We're creating problems just to have something to complain about, and that doesn't happen in third world nations. That doesn't happen when people are hungry or when there's a war going on. It doesn't happen when there's something significant of profound importance in our lives. This gender-affirming pronoun nonsense only exists because we have been so comfortable for so long.
Well, yeah, it's called what they call a first world problem.
Right.
You know, they're not talking to me like I want to be talked to. Well, you know what? Go over to some places like Africa, which is a failed continent, and have to work on feeding yourself and your progeny. Now you have a problem.
Yeah, I get it. I don't understand how any of this ever got into the military. Clearly it has. And then I don't understand why it's been allowed to stay.
Well, I understand that. what you have to look at is what they call the long march for the institute through the institutions. The left, for the longest time, has wanted to destroy the pillars that hold up American society. Those pillars are things like the church, the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, the military, all these things that people go to get morally centered. And when they can get underneath those and destroy them, then that's what happens. I'm watching it happen in the church that I used to attend. The United Methodist Church has been destroyed by people that believe that it's absolutely normal to copulate with the same sex. Well, I'm sorry, the Bible says no. So, you know, we've had to leave that church and form our own. Same with the Boy Scouts. You know, it's okay for, you know, scoutmasters to
Oh. I don't know. The colonel just went to a blank screen. I don't know what happened. So we'll go to a phone call. Don't forget, this is a live call on 251-228-8252. Laura in Michigan on line one. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Well, I really wanted to talk to the general.
Oh, he's back. Colonel.
Is he back?
Yep, he's back.
I'm here.
Okay. When you referred to Putin, what did you say? Did you say about him? You referred to Putin. You said something.
You were going through the dictator in Korea and whatever, and you said something about Putin. I don't remember, but you used some derogatory term for him.
I don't remember talking about Putin. I remember talking about Kim.
Yeah, you mentioned Putin, and you used a derogatory term, but I don't remember what it was.
So here's my point. Why did you use the derogatory term against Putin?
Well, if I did, because Putin is a harsh dictator, and he's doing some pretty ugly stuff. In fact, I had an article about what he's doing and how it's pretty close to what was going on in 1917 when Tsar Nicholas got deposed. You can see that on AFNN.
Do you know that Putin has rebuilt thousands of churches? He's Russian Orthodox.
People
love him. I think you got. You're listening to CNN.
No, ma'am. I don't listen to CNN because I think they're evil. I'm just looking at what is going on right now with the war in Ukraine. Okay.
Well, we shouldn't have had a war. It was 2014 when Victoria Nuland took $5 billion of our dollars and overthrew the duly elected Russian president of the Ukraine. And left it, and opened it up for all the cabals to go in there and steal all the real resources and the banks and everything else out of the Ukraine.
Ma'am,
I respect what you're saying. What I would ask you to do, if you have the time, is to go to AFNN, look at my article cache, Mike Ford, F-O-R-D, like the truck, and look at the article that I labeled, It's Looking Like 1917 in Russia. Go ahead and have a look at that, and then come back the next time, and let's have a chat. Okay, I'm being very respectful with you, ma'am, but
1917 is when the Bolsheviks took over. They killed the Tsar,
ma'am,
and his family.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. I would ask you to go ahead and read my article about that, and then let's come back and have a talk. I'm respectfully asking this.
And the colonel is back the third Thursday of every month. So he'll be back again on September 21st.
I respectfully say he needs to look into Putin a little bit more and the people. He didn't start this war. He went to liberate the Ukrainian people.
He might want to liberate the Ukrainian people, but he's still a commie bastard. Anyway, thanks for the call, Laura. Break time. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Reb, hold on. If you're still there, I'll get you on the other side of the break.
Oh. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Hey, welcome back. Final segment of tonight's show. And before we get too far along, I want to get to Reb in Colorado on line one. Welcome to the show, Reb.
This is the U.S. Pentagon First Team, Bubba Scout Reb reporting for the rest of the team. And I was wondering if this colonel has heard about Michael Yan, United States Army Special Operations Command, been a Green Beret 25 years. He contacts us, along with Secretary of the Army's office. They're running us over with the United Nations right now. He was just in McAllen, heads back to El Paso, and he goes up and back around the world to the Darien Gap, and the UN just overrun us. I couldn't get on the radio. They wouldn't move me on because you don't want to hear the facts. They're interested in the truth, not the facts. And they're going to build 30 square miles in Liberty, Texas, a training area for Haitian, 250,000 of them. They're going to dump them here. They're going to give them guns and badges. He was freaking out, this Michael Yan, him and this other one. I forgot his name. He's Navy SEAL. But they report on this, and we got direct. It's like directly from them. They told us it's coming to Liberty, Texas. People in Texas deserve it. They can go to hell for all I care. But we don't want this in America. I mean, I'm from one part of Texas. Bubba's from another. We're refugees in our own country, stuck here in Soviet Colorado. We're not going to take this crap. We're at top of the government. JAG complaint, Joint Chiefs, U.S. Public Law 109-364, Section 1076, United States Army War College War Plan for the use of force on the North American continent. We start here. We're going to punch a hole into Region 8 headquarters later. the IRS take all their dope money. And we're not going to stop here. That's our plan. It's all approved. I've got outstanding from the command staff, Carl Albert, Pennsylvania. I guess this Colonel General, he's heard of this before. And there's 717-453-2332. That's the command center. Might talk to the National Command Center. They're calling it CHOP when they answer the phone. General Milley's got our statement. He's got it. He sent his CID command here to Lakewood, Colorado, from both residences. There's three of us. And this all official. I want to know if he's heard anything, because the whole Pentagon knows about Bubba, Scout, Rev. They put their three names into call signs. So why aren't we getting attention and doing our job that we signed for? It's a jag in the joint, chief. And the federal agent in charge to tell 911 lowlives, stay the hell away from us. Andy Kerouac at OSI Counterintelligence Northcom got badge and everything, the federal agent in charge. This is a national emergency. So everybody, oh, the white boy's no good. You can't use the law, white boy. That's what you're telling me. It's real law. And we want to punch all. No, they're not going to set up in Liberty, Texas, and then fan them out around America, because they're crazy. Now, he explained they were deporting these Haitians. You know how they bring Haitians here. They bring everybody. And they're crazy. So some pilots said they flew them back on a charter airline. On the airline. They ripped the seats off the floor and broke the little interior plastic windows. They're having a riot because they were being deported. So the UN rounds them up again. They're going to stick them on 30 square miles. We know that part of Texas, the Crockett National Forest, up there, Liberty. See, I talked to the Secretary of the Army to get a hold of these people and send us Delta Force. We'll start here. I wish they were dead. No, we're not going to take this. No. And we're top chain of command now. And we're civilians. So we got around the Justice Department and everybody listening in. You call that National Command Center, and you don't ask. You say, hey, those deadbeat Bubba Scout Rev ain't doing nothing. They're signed up. It's all covered. You're paid for it. And you tell it's 703-697-9121. Don't take no for an answer. If you're a, what do they call you?
A 10 hut.
Sorry about that.
Well, that's good that you're playing the bugle, because we need somebody to round up troops and get this done. Because we know,
hey, well, you know another way you can do that.
Huh?
Another way you can do that, another way to round up troops and get things done is behind
that's
the county
sheriff.
That's
what the law says. That's what the law says.
Another way is to line up behind your county sheriff. Your county sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer of his county. He has the power of posse comitatus, which means that he can call a posse of every able-bodied man in his county. So if your county sheriff is a constitutionalist and believes in liberty and justice, he might be able to, might have to do that someday. So make sure that your sheriff has your number.
We're witnesses against those bastards. I don't care what costume they're wearing. They're covering up for these murderers. You're in a fog if you think that the UN ain't running your local Sharia, or we call them the Guinea, government truth or no intelligence, or the whole 911 system. You like it.
Listen, Reb. Listen, Reb. You're not going to come on here and make a comment saying that the UN is running every county sheriff and every elected office and every place everywhere, because you know what? I carry a badge. I am an elected constable, and I do this show to wake people up. I carry my badge everywhere I go, and I'm not going to enforce some BS law that I don't think is constitutional. So don't make broad statements like that unless you're willing to come to my face and make them to me.
I can't. We're in Colorado. You're in Texas. We're not knocking people who want the law. Where's the law? It's a JAG complaint at the Joint Chiefs. Why is this so hard to understand? Member of the Pentagon understands. They don't play games. We were a monster created by the United States Defense Intelligence Agency.
But you're missing my point. You're missing my point that your county sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer of your county, and therefore has the power and the authority to kick out the FBI or the IRS or the ATF or whoever else comes into their county. And they also have the power to bring every able-bodied man in that county to arms. So if there's anybody in this country that can stand up against the federal government or the UN or whoever, it's a coalition of like-minded sheriffs.
Okay, you're right. Let them get in the way. We're okay with that. Tell the military when we roll in here, you're not supposed to show up. Go for it. We like that idea because we're not going to take crap from punks who tried to murder us under their guise of law. When you use
all right,
a badge,
Rep. That's enough. I don't even know where you're going anymore. Have a great night. Thanks for calling. And if you're ever willing to actually have a conversation back and forth, you know, two ways, listen to each other, then feel free to call back again. But let's talk about, my own website, liberty-lighthouse.com. I started out the show telling you I'm doing a lot more work lately. So help me out. Go to liberty-lighthouse.com. You can go to the shop. And in the shop, you can buy some cool merchandise, like my favorite new T-shirt that says Make the Constitution Matter Again. Or go to the classroom and enroll in a course and learn about that power of posse comitatus in your local sheriff that I just mentioned. Or learn about the biblical foundations of our government. That's liberty-lighthouse.com. And classroom is my newest project. Or go to the blog and read some of those new articles. And Colonel Ford, you want to talk about one of those articles?
Yeah, I just want to let your viewership know that they need to come on AFNN.us and look at your article cache because you've got some really good stuff there. And despite how not very pretty you look on this platform, you actually do write very well. So thanks for having me on. You're a good man.
Well, thank you very much, Colonel. Visit the Colonel, support his works at AFN.us. That's American Free News Network.us. And we got somebody over here in the video room in Twitch says, you guys should stop giving these lunatics airtime. And I lost it. Where to go? Stop giving these lunatics airtime. It's why we have Trumpers trying to kill judges and making death threats to the president. Okay. Well, I probably did let that go on a little longer than I should, but I was waiting for the point. I was waiting for the, where's it going to get wrapped up at the end? And that just never seemed to come. Anyway, let's see here. I lost my train of thought where I was going. The colonel left me and I'm all by myself and I'm out of notes. I was talking about Bidenomics and all the debt and all that other kind of stuff. Where's the curiosity of our press? Talked about that last week, and how the press doesn't want to investigate things that might look suspicious anymore. And I think it's more telling the stories that the press doesn't cover. Says more about a network than how much coverage they give the stories that they do cover. If that makes any sense. You know, we got the Biden laptop thing is the most obvious example where they were like, oh no, it's Russian information, just disinformation or whatever. It had already been verified by the time the New York Post put it out. And I'm pretty sure at least one or two other networks probably knew that, but they chose not to talk about it. And it happens all the time. We have stories that come out and one place will talk about it when nobody else will. Kind of like the Bidenomics that I'm just talking, the president's going around telling about all these things. And he just outright said that he cut $1.7 trillion out of the debt, which is a lie. National debt has gone up $4 trillion since President Biden's been president. So he lied. But nobody's going to call him on it. Nobody dares speak out and say that right in front of him. Why is that? If you've got an idea that I don't have, Phone line is open, 512-248-8252. We've got, 15, 20 minutes left. And I don't have anything to talk about. I didn't prepare well enough. I didn't bring enough notes and enough study and things to do a whole show tonight, apparently. One of the things I did want to talk about here soon was the definition of the word misdemeanors. I'm starting to think that impeachment is something that should happen far more often than it does today. And, well, you know, impeachment in the for the president says, you know, for high crimes and misdemeanors. And I think it's important to know what, you know, definitions of words. So if you open up Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, which I highly recommend everybody who has any intention of ever studying the Constitution, get a copy of Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. There's a free app for your phone or tablet that is an electronic version that's free, because the printed version is actually pretty pricey. So a misdemeanor in Noah's 1828 dictionary is, in law, an offense of a less atrocious nature than a crime. Crimes and misdemeanors are mere synonyms in terms, but in common usage, the word crime is made to denote offenses of a deeper and more atrocious dye, while small faults and omissions of less consequence are compromised under the gentler name of misdemeanor. So in the Constitution, where it says that the president can only be tried for high crimes and misdemeanors, you know, treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. So that's a pretty broad umbrella, actually. Up until recently, we've all been made to believe that you can only impeach a president for, like, big, huge felony-type offenses. But that's not what the Constitution says. It says other high crimes or misdemeanors. Now, I'm not saying that you impeach a president for walking across the street, you know, jaywalking or anything like that. But when the pile of misdemeanors starts to pile up, I don't know, maybe we should. Other things to look at, definitions in studying the Bible, or the Constitution and Noah's dictionary, Noah Webster's dictionary. Things that that just really stuck in my head lately. That was one of them. Another one is the fact that we all know that it doesn't say life tenure in the Constitution for judges, right? It says judges shall hold their office for good behavior. So they can be impeached too. So where's the good behavior come in? Well, in my opinion, that's when they stop applying the Constitution as a judge. When they start legislating from the bench. When they start using their own feelings and emotions rather than the Constitution. We could impeach them. And we should. And not just Supreme Court justices. All federal judges. All judges anywhere. All offices anywhere. We need to impeach people more often. We all know, you know, there's the old joke, how do you tell a politician's lying? Well, their lips are moving. Well, then, why do we keep electing politicians? That's on us. But we can fix it. We can fix it by having them impeached when they're caught in their lies, or when they stop doing the job that they promised that they would do, or when they're clearly and obviously corrupt. That's a process. It's there. Any elected person can be impeached. I think we need to start doing that more. That's me. That's my opinion. The other thing, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18. All right, so I don't understand how this has gotten completely out of whack, but it's the Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18 is the one that's often called the elastic clause. So Article 1, Section 8 spells out the 17 things that Congress was given the power to do. But then number 18 is the necessary and proper clause. But the part that everybody forgets, and for some reason the Supreme Court hasn't even brought this back up lately, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18, to make all laws which are necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers. Okay? So they have the power to make all the laws necessary to carry out the 17 things listed beforehand, necessary and proper for carrying out the foregoing powers and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or any department thereof. So the necessary and proper clause, often called the elastic clause, everybody forgets the foregoing powers portion of that, which completely changes the definition of it. It goes back to Federalist 45 and the 10th Amendment, which go hand in hand. Federalist 45, Madison says that the government powers, the federal government, the general government powers are few and defined, where the state powers are vast and infinite. And then, of course, the 10th Amendment says that any power not in the Constitution goes to the states. Those two things go hand in hand. Why have we allowed our government to do what it's done? I've yet to find the answer to that. It's been 120 years, 140 years that our government's just blatantly ignoring the Constitution, doing whatever they want without constitutional justification or authorization. You don't have to be a genius to read it and see that.
Well, Peter, you're not a constitutional lawyer. You're just a guy. You can't interpret the Constitution like that.
Yes, I can. Because the Constitution was made for we the people. It was made to be simple enough for us to read and understand ourselves. We don't need constitutional lawyers and judges to interpret the necessary and proper clause. It doesn't need to be interpreted. It's right there. It's plain English. Tell me where I'm wrong. 10 minutes left in the show. I'd love to give it to one of you out there who's smarter than me. 512-248-8252. Tell me where I'm wrong. We don't need lawyers. We don't need constitutional legal experts to interpret the Constitution for us. We just need to stand up for what it says again. 330 million citizens in this country. 330 million citizens. How many of them do you think have actually read the U.S. Constitution? You know, it's funny to me how the legal immigrants to this country are some of the most patriotic people in our country at all. Like, really, really patriotic people. And people that are born here hate the place. That's a funny paradigm. Partly because the people that immigrate here legally, well, they have to read the Constitution. They have to learn it. They have to pass that test. People born here don't. It's like Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass, the escaped slave, who gave the speech, the Independence Day speech, where he was like, this isn't a black person holiday. We're not free. Frederick Douglass, who started his career with the belief that the U.S. Constitution was a slaveholder's document, written by slaveholders, a pro-slavery, keep slavery document. That's what he thought. Until he read it. Once he sat down and read the Constitution himself, once he studied its meaning, he completely turned around. Frederick Douglass, a man who was a slave, was able to see that the Constitution was his best hope for freedom. And the best anti-slavery document that the Founding Fathers could come up with at the time and still come out the other side with a nation. So why is it a man who actually was a slave can come to that conclusion, but people today can't? 200 years later. Because they stopped reading it. They stopped studying it for themselves. That's what we got to get back to. There's only a handful of things that we can do to bring our country back if we want to keep it as the constitutional republic it was supposed to be. There's only a handful of things that we can do to bring it back to that without violence. Got to find people to elect that understand that the purpose of government is to protect my rights, not to give me stuff or make me feel good. To protect my rights. We need to educate the populace so that they understand their power in this role, in their role in this, understand their power when they get called to a jury duty. We need to elect sheriffs that know the Constitution inside and out, frontwards and backwards. We need sheriffs who, when they put their hand on the Bible and raise the other hand and swear the oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, they mean it. Education's number one. We got to educate the sheriffs that are out there. We got to educate the John Q. public that's out there. We got to start a lot earlier educating the kids. Because by the time they get to teenage years, it's too late to start over. Oh, it's not too late. It's a lot harder to start over then. What else? What else can we do? Yeah, we can call our representatives and protest and all of those things, but how far have those things gotten us so far? All politics is local. Everything comes down to local. The federal government really doesn't have a whole lot of power when your local government is solid, when your sheriff is solid. You get the people in your local government to be good, strong supporters of the constitutional and the constitutional principles, then maybe you can go from your town to get your county full of those kinds of people.
This is Matt Brainerd.
Doesn't have to take the catastrophe like the pandemic. I mean, it was kind of nice to have all the sheriffs standing up during the COVID-19 pandemic. There's quite a few sheriffs that stood up and said, I'm not going to enforce this silly rule. I'm not going to do that. Sheriffs that stood up and said, there are going to be First Amendment sanctuaries or Second Amendment sanctuaries. I'm not going to stop protesting because of a mask mandate. That's a start. A lot of sheriffs started to realize that their oath is to the Constitution first. There are 3,085 sheriffs in this country. How many of them are willing to do that? Well, in 1994, when Congress tried to amend the Brady, or when Congress did amend the Brady Bill and wanted sheriffs to get commandeered to for background check stuff with the Brady Bill, and they threatened sheriffs with jail time and fines if they didn't comply with the ATF. How many of those sheriffs stood up? Out of 3,085, how many of them realized that was a violation of the Constitution and stood up against our federal government? I want to say 5. Not nearly enough. Well, sounds like it's the end. Thank you very much, Colonel Ford, for joining me as my guest this evening. Thank you, Mike, my producer. I can't do this show without you. Thank you, listeners and callers. You're why we do this show. Until next week, protect your liberties. Once they're gone, there's no getting them back. And if you're listening live on RBN, stay tuned for Edge of Darkness with Jeffrey Bennett. God bless America.
Take America back. We must take America back.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats. And even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.